Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Streamed and Screened, an entertainment podcast about movies and TV from Lee Enterprises. I'm Terry Lipschutz, managing editor of the National Newsroom for Lee and co-host of the program with Bruce Miller, editor of the Sioux City Journal and a longtime entertainment reporter, and like me, a dedicated professional couch potato.
Oh, the TV is never off in my house. It's always on. It's like my family. I'm always watching something. When you started with the pandemic, that's all we had. And then it's just kind of leached over to the rest of our lives. And so now TV is the thing, right?
Yeah. I think back too, to even the pandemic, not that I needed another reason to get back into watching more TV, because none of us really need that. But it was a good opportunity to explore a lot of shows because everything got shut down. So it's like, what are you going to do? You know, you can only take so many walks around the block and that kind of thing. So it got me a little bit back into watching some shows, exploring some streaming services that I hadn't really discovered before. Now, even though, you know, as we talked about in the last episode with movies, I don't have a lot of time to get to the movie theater, I can always squeeze in one or two episodes of a sitcom, of a drama on Netflix, on Hulu, each and every night. I've seen a lot of what you would probably call premium, top-notch television shows from the past year. So, you know, I came up with the top 10 list. I know you have a top 10 list.
This was going to be a year where nothing was going to happen because we had strikes. Yep. And didn't think there was going to be even a fall TV season. I think at the end of the year, we got a few really, really barn burners. Yep. And so I think it's still, we can still look at 2023 as a great TV year.
Yeah.
And 2024, absolutely, it's even going to be better.
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So what's in your number 10 spot?
My number 10 spot are a series of kind of like honorable mentions, because I got down, you know, there's like four shows, which were absolutely at the top of my list. But as I went a little further down, it got a little bit more difficult. So I gave an honorable mention for Night Court for just not being a terrible reboot. It was an enjoyable reboot. It's not the greatest show out there. But if you're somebody who's, let's say, a Gen Xer or a bit older who grew up on Night Court, it's a fun watch. Go check it out. I was a little disappointed to see this one actually get canceled. Not a great show, you know, but it was one where my wife and I could watch it. It wasn't spectacular, but it was one where, you know, we could throw it on and for half an hour be entertained. And that was the reboot for How I Met Your Father. It's definitely not to the level of the original, but that original show, How I Met Your Mother, those characters, they're all roughly my age. So I was always able to identify with them. So I gave How I Met Your Father a chance. We watched it for the two seasons. It was fine. It wasn't spectacular, but it was fine. And then I'm going to give an honorable mention to all the mediocre Star Wars shows that I watched this year. Mandalorian Season 3, The Bad Batch Season 2, Ahsoka. These were not great shows. They were okay. They disappointed me a lot in a lot of different ways. But I think about Star Wars like pizza. No matter how bad Star Wars might be,
it's still good.
It's still good. You know, it's like pizza. Like pizza, how bad does pizza have to be for you not to want to keep eating it, right? It would have to be just truly atrocious. So I like, they're fine. They're not spectacular. They're fine. And then there was a handful of other shows that I watched this year, which I'll throw in there, that these are legitimately, I've seen them pop up on some other folks' top 10 lists, but they didn't quite hit it for me in some way or the other. I thought A Small Light on National Geographic, it was a really nice miniseries, not top 10 for me, but it was a really good look at the story of Anne Frank, and it brought you in a little bit deeper.
Sure, from a different perspective.
Absolutely. You know, Barry, I've loved Barry since the beginning, but I really thought that, you know, season one to season two was a little bit of a downturn, two to three, and then three to four. It was okay. I didn't love the ending to it. I couldn't put it in my top 10. Silo on Apple TV Plus, it started out slow. It got much better as it went along. My wife and I really liked watching it. So that one was fine. And then The Great on Hulu, like that one, the first season was just raucous and crazy. I thought this last season, it was fine. It took a turn. I don't want to give it away for anyone that maybe missed it or still is catching up on programming. One of the main characters won't be back for any future seasons. Let's just say that. But they did an okay job with it. It's still one that I like, and you know, it's a good show, and we're definitely going to keep watching it. The first show that I actually gave a number ranking to at number nine is Dave on Hulu and FXX, I guess it is.
Yeah.
And that show, man, that is just, it's like eating candy for me. I mean, it's crazy. It's a little bit weird, but it's a funny show.
My favorite episode had Brad Pitt on it this year.
Oh, yes. Yep. Yep.
I thought that was like so brilliant, and he did such a great job with that. But if you haven't discovered Dave, it is an acquired taste. It is not something that everybody will go, well, what is that? You know, we'd be like the parents on the show. It's so out there, but it's about a rapper and what he has to do to try and make the career go. Yeah. Dave is a good choice. I don't have it on my list, but you're up to nine?
I'm up to nine, yeah.
Okay, I had Succession at number 10, and I bet you have it higher because you like that.
I love it, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think they got a little too tied up in their own world so that they had nowhere else to go. And so it's great, but it didn't get up higher than 10.
Okay.
At nine, I have What We Do in the Shadows, because I think that is my only time to really laugh out loud and make fun of something that's just outrageous. You know, most of these shows are labeled comedies, but they're just half-hour dramas is what it amounts to.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this is one that I can just laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And, you know, if I had the vampires living next door, I would invite them over.
I do want to see this one because it takes place on Staten Island, right?
Right, right.
And it is my homeland.
One runs for office. I mean, you have a lot of things that you could relate to. So that's my number nine. Now, we up to eight?
Eight, yes.
What do you have for eight?
I had Ted Lasso, final season.
And, you know, there were a lot of those. Mrs. Maisel would be another one I'd put on there.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a couple of other ones that are on there that quit. And how do you include them because it's their last year? Should you just ignore them because they're done? Or do you say, this is my final hat tip?
Yeah, for me, it was a little bit of a tip of a cap. I mean, I don't think it was as strong as the previous seasons, but I also felt that it's, again, sometimes when you get something that's not as good, you look down on it. But then when you put it in perspective, you know, it's still better than a lot of the other things out there. It's just not as good.
I have at eight The Last of Us, and I bet you have that higher.
I do. Yep. I have. It is on my list, but it is higher than eight.
Okay. At seven, I have Reservation Dogs because I love that. I lived that. I know that. And I think they ended it really well. I thought they left us all hopeful that these kids are going to turn out all right. So that was my number seven. What was your seven?
Seven, it's a similar in theme to the Ted Lasso, and that is Mrs. Maisel. It was not the greatest season, but I like the way they approached it by doing the flashbacks and flash forwards. I thought it did a pretty good job at wrapping up the series. I was a little disappointed at times because, you know, not enough Tony Shalhoub and that kind of thing. But it's still a show that strikes a chord for me personally, you know, growing up out east and of Jewish heritage and that kind of thing. So, you know, for me, it's still one of the best shows out there. Absolutely.
Okay. What is your number six?
Six. We're up to six. So this one, it's not on your list. And I think I mentioned it to you previously, and it was either one you hadn't really seen or just didn't get into, but Shrinking on Apple TV Plus.
Oh,
Jason Segel and Harrison Ford. I thought this was, it's got a few nominations for Emmys, or Golden Globes, right? There's a few out there. I thought it was witty. I thought it was funny. It was one of those where I can kind of, I know I'm going to get a good episode no matter what I watch from it. And it's 30 minutes of just like having fun. It was fun.
Yep. I will give it a chance. I saw the first episode and I thought, this isn't me. I don't care. Right.
But I, you know what though? It's, I think maybe it's also, we're at different points of our lives also, right? You know, it's a little...
more Harrison Ford.
Right, you are more Harrison Ford, yeah. And right? I am a little bit more Jason Segel, yes.
Right.
Exactly. So what did you have at that point?
Number six, I have Fellow Travelers. This was a limited series about two men in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, beyond, who are closeted, and they don't dare come out that they are in a relationship or they have a relationship, because it was the height of the McCarthy era and they were putting everything. And so how did their lives turn out? Where did one go? Where did the other go? And I find it very fascinating. Matt Bomer, who was in White Collar and a number of other things, it's one of his best things he's ever done. You know, he seems like just a pretty boy, to be honest with you. You could see where he was feeling the strain of this. Jonathan Bailey, who, by the way, is going to be Fiero in the musical version of Wicked when that becomes a movie next year, he's the other guy. And you see how these lives kind of diverged, and then what it's like for them when they come back together many years later, and coulda, shoulda, woulda kind of thing like that. I mean, I thought it was fascinating because you got to see a bit of history, but you saw it through a different lens.
Yeah.
So that's my number six. Number five, what did you have there?
So five is one which, it's again, it's not on your list, and it's the type of show where I think the people that love it, and the people that are less in love with it aren't going to put it on their list, and that's The Crown on Netflix, final season. I think the series as a whole has had some ups and downs, but just like The Crown, right? Feels like it always takes me a season to get used to the cast change, because they do two seasons and then they age them, and then two seasons and then they age them. So I thought last season it was a little bit difficult getting used to the new Charles, the new Diana, but I really am liking what I've seen so far. I have not caught the second wave of episodes. So we watched within just a couple of days of them dropping the first wave that came out, and now the second wave is out. So, you know, I don't want to give anything away, but it starts with Diana. You know, we know what happens to Diana. So just, right. You know, spoiler alert there, but so I haven't seen where I know the second half of the season gets a little bit more into Prince William and eventually, you know, his relationship with Kate. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know, you know, I guess it's possible that the show could go up a notch, go down a notch, but that's why I figured five is safe. It's kind of middle of the road.
Okay. I like The Crown initially. When they switch around a little too much,
they do.
It bothers me because some of those actors are not as good as others in these roles. And then you get a really good one and you think, well, hang on to him. Don't let him go. And so that bothers me. But it's a classier look at that than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be just trash that you'd find on Lifetime.
Yep.
And it's not. It's a classy way of looking at everything. At number five, I had the stand-up comedy special, Baby J, from John Mulaney. And John Mulaney, I mean, I have always liked him. I always thought he's kind of a smartass, to use a word. But I would laugh at him, and I thought he was funny. But this year, he really opened a vein and talked about his own life and his addictions and how it was to go to rehab. And it wasn't like he wanted you to feel sorry for him. He was being very matter-of-fact about it. And I think being the most honest he's ever been about his own life. I loved it. I'll watch that again. It's like Bo Burnham had a special a couple of years ago that was my favorite of all TV shows. But Baby J, watched it. It's good. And again, I don't know if the kids can be around.
I'll have to check that one out. I wasn't even thinking of comedy specials, and I didn't catch that one, but I definitely will. So number four for me is one that you like too. You haven't mentioned it yet because it's a hair higher on your list, but it's The Bear. On Hulu. That's number four for me. I really struggled with this one because I'm like, it could be number one. Do I put it at two or three? But I settled in on four, and I'll tell you why. It stresses me out. That show, it's to me a lot of shows. If I love it, I want to watch it and binge it, and I get angry if I can't. You know, it's like Fargo right now. I can't just go and watch every episode because they make you wait week to week. I needed that with The Bear. I needed to like watch an episode, and it is so intense, and there's so much screaming and there's so much yelling that I would get to the end of the episode and be like, I need to watch something else, because it was literally one of the best things I had just seen on TV all year. But at the same time, I couldn't take any more of it. But I really liked with this season how they gave each character their own moment to shine. I thought that was, it was sweet in a lot of ways. And then the other piece was that Christmas episode. Oh my goodness.
Is that not the best piece of television? And Jamie Lee Curtis, she may have won an Oscar last year for Everything Everywhere All at Once, but this is the performance of her life.
Yep.
When she plays that, I mean, you know that mother. You know that mother immediately.
Uh-huh.
And how she just became another thorn, another problem for Carmi to deal with was like unbelievable. And you want, you no, we got to get this restaurant open. It's got to happen. Come on. And Cousin Richie, how he switched.
Yep.
It was such a remarkable second season for a show. And you're right. It could be number one. It really could. I had it number one last year. And I thought, I can't do 2 years in a row with the same show.
Yeah.
But it's that good. It's number three on my list. Number four on my list is probably your number three. And that's Fargo.
It's close. We're getting close. Okay.
Okay. Fargo, do you want to, we can wait and we'll get to the next ones. Because
okay.
What you had, what number three?
I had The Last of Us at number three. And that was that was all the way down for eight for number
eight.
U.
Yeah.
Last of Us, okay. I needed a drama like that, like a sci-fi type of drama. It's another one. We've gotten a few surprises from HBO the last few years. You know, we had that one a few years ago, and they always drop these apocalyptic type of programs on you. So it's like, what are we going to expect? Is it going to be okay or isn't it? And I was really, really surprised with it. I know there is going to be a season two for it, and I'm really looking forward to it.
It's not The Last of Us.
No, it isn't. It's almost The Last of Us, but not quite. So, yeah, no, I really liked it. I thought it was very well done, you know, considering an adaptation of a video game, but it wasn't like this gory spook fest. It was a lot of emotion and good character development. So I loved it. Three for me. Yep.
Okay, so then I had The Bear at three.
Okay.
At two, I have Jury Duty.
Okay.
And I love Jury Duty. This is that Amazon Freevee series where they pretend that everybody is actually doing jury duty, except one person thinks it's real. He has no idea that it's a reality show, being punked. And James Marsden is one of the jurors. And he plays this kind of heightened version of himself, where he's just full of himself, and you would like the, I think they talk about Sonic in there, and wasn't he in Sonic the Hedgehog? I think he was.
He might have been, yeah.
And this guy Ronald, the real guy, says, "Yeah, that wasn't a very good movie, was it?" And you know, it's like, how does he react to this? Because this is being made up as they go along. But Jury Duty, if you haven't seen it, it's a great one. Now, okay. You have two. You probably have. Do you have Fargo at two?
I have Fargo at two. Yeah, I really love this season, and it's I think when we did the Fargo episode a few episodes back, you had mentioned this is like the best Fargo since what, the first Fargo?
Right.
And after the last season of Fargo, I wasn't even sure if I wanted to come back to Fargo because I was so disappointed with it. This season, it's brilliant. I was telling my wife even the other day, because she's not into Fargo at all. She hated the movie. But I said, you know, I got to show you a little bit of it with Juno Temple, because this is Keeley from Ted
right.
Lasso, and it is definitely not Keeley. It's totally different. But I don't know how this season's going to end. I could see me bumping this up to number one if it maintains and even improves on where it is. I think I'm through the first five episodes.
Okay. I watched all of the episodes. I finished it out last night. I had two episodes left. I watched it. It could be number one. It really could be. The ending is so rewarding in many ways. You know, it's odd to make this comparison, but this season of Fargo is a lot like Barbie, the movie, where it's a real, if you will, feminist pitch. And it's talking about things that really don't get talked about. Spousal abuse, come on. The political situation in our world.
Yep.
It's a lot of stuff that they unpack and they do it well. But the ending, you will feel a lot of emotion because of the way they wrap things up for certain people. And it's remarkable, remarkable. I will easily predict that this is going to be a strong contender for next year's Emmys. And I do think that Jon Hamm and Juno are largely responsible, and they will be considered best actor and actress in the Emmy for a limited/TV movie spot. So yeah. that was your number two.
It was my number two. Number one was Succession. That is, to me, hands down, the best series on TV this year. I know some people don't think it was the best season of Succession, and I would agree with it. It wasn't the best season of Succession, but it was still the best show on TV for me, pound for pound. It was still a show that left me wondering what was going to happen. It's the way character roles played out, you know, with who would end up on top. I did feel it was going to get a little predictable at a couple spots, but you know, we had some folks, you know, that didn't make it all the way from season one all the way to the last episode. And it was a surprise. It was a little bit jarring to watch. I just think it was the best show. It's the best show that HBO has really done in a long time. Granted, they also did The Last of Us. So, you know, two of my top three are from HBO. But it's in terms of dramas and you know, you look at things like The Sopranos, first season of Westworld, Deadwood. There's been a lot of really Game of Thrones, a lot of really good dramas the last 20, 25 years in the history of HBO. And this one is good.
Okay. And my number one, Beef.
Okay.
And I don't know if you, did you watch Beef?
I did not, no.
Okay. This is one that, you know, an incident happens. What happens to the people? What goes on? What could have been? It's from Korea, and it stars Steven Yeun and Ali Wong, and they're both nominated for Emmys. So you've seen them before, but this is yet another one of those kind of things we're learning from Korean filmmakers, is how you can, they did Parasite. That gives you kind of a point of reference.
Okay.
And it's one of those very self-contained series that you can go, okay, I get it. I get it. And that was extremely remarkable, particularly in a year when broadcasters were looking for other places to find new material.
Okay.
And they found it there. And so that's why I thought it's something different. It's something new. It's my number one. So there's our list. We had a lot of crossovers, and we don't live next door to each other.
No. And I think, you know, you and I, we certainly had some solid crossovers, maybe in different rankings, different spots. But yeah, Succession, Fargo, The Bear, all really good shows. And I think we threw out some ideas for each other too, to check out some other ones.
I'll be shrinking. We'll see
Check it out. But we are, I guess, not to rub it in, we are at different stages in our life, I guess. So I could see where that one maybe just doesn't strike the same chord for you.
I've got to get to shrinking sooner than you would have to get to something else that I'm recommending to you. So
all right. It's the end of the year. It's the end of the season. I mean, check out this episode. Obviously, you're listening to it right now. But if you didn't, go back and check our previous episode on the top movies from 2023. Have a great rest of the year.
If you look back, we have some interviews with some of those people from those various shows. I think if you do a deep dive into the podcast, you should be able to find some of those, and you'll hear what we heard when we talked to them.
Absolutely. All right. Well, have a safe and wonderful rest of the year. Happy New Year. And we'll be back again in 2024 with another season of Streamed and Screened.
How's your money feeling? It's about to feel happier with a certificate from Happy Money's partner, Michigan State University Federal Credit Union. Elevate and increase your savings with 18-month terms and only a $500 minimum. And the happiest part? MSU FCU certificates yield 4.5% APY annual percentage yield. Now that's a happier side of money. Elevate your savings. Go to happymoney.com/MSUFCU. That's MSU FCU. Funds insured up to $250,000 by NCUA. The APY is accurate as of the 12/1/2023 dividend declaration date. Early withdrawal penalties do apply. Fees may reduce earnings on the account. Any monthly withdrawals or transfers reduce earnings.